Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To go.
610, hi, I'm Steve. No place to go. How you doing? Just around the room, Andrea, how are you?
Good morning to you. How are you feeling
and
today,
and good morning
mister?
To you.
What was that?
You picked up a strange accent while you were in Ireland, or Iceland.
Iceland, yeah. I like it, though. Very Icelandic. It
sounded kind of Norwegian.
No, it was like...
You could have a little Norwegian in you. Did you meet someone?
No comment.
Okay. Oh, look at you.
No, I would have told you, wouldn't I?
I don't think so. No, well, we're two ships that pass in the northern Atlantic
right,
at this point.
Exactly. Literally.
Dave Ennett, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. Getting a little better every day. How about you, Mary Vanderbilt?
I'm good, and you sound much better.
Yes.
I think.
I'm actually using a stunt voice today.
Yes.
No, it's getting better every day, so
is
thanks
Denzel,
for that.
Is
thanks
Denzel doing your stunt voice?
No. He's a little squeaky.
Yeah.
He really can't carry it off. Mm-hmm. Seventh floor, Steve Grzanich, you all right?
Hey there, doing great. You do sound a lot better today.
Thanks, appreciate mm-hmm. that.
Plus, you look good.
Yeah.
You know, sexy is as sexy does.
That's right.
What?
Right.
What? Sometimes the medicine kicks in. And, of course, Mike and Mary are standing by. That'd be Mary as in Sandberg, Frizenglage and Farfignug and Comcast Sportsnet. Who already has a complaint, but it's not about the show, so we're excited.
She has a complaint.
It's about something else in her life.
Uh-oh. Are we going to hear about this today, or is this
is their response. And by the way, it's the perfect response. Everybody's taking cover.
So I'm curious. Are we going to talk about it later or now?
No, we're going to do it right now. We're going to do it right now. Because yesterday I brought up the McDonald's app and how stupid I think the McDonald's app idea is. And we got thousands and thousands of responses. That's a Trump response, by the way. We got like two. But the McDonald's app response was legendary. It was huge. But it turns out that your complaint, Sandberg, is more with the Starbucks app?
Yes. So I use the Starbucks app in the morning to order my coffee. And Mike and I, because we're both going, we get it in the same thing. And I do it on my app because then you get stars. And when you collect stars, you get free coffee later, you know? So I'm in the middle of a star dash, which is like these little challenges they give you, where if you purchase, I think I have to make 5 or 6 purchases and in 7 days, and then I get 175 stars, which is basically like a free coffee.
Oh, my God, that's a miracle.
So I always order something to eat as well.
And yeah, of course. Who wouldn't?
I really like the fruit and cheese bistro boxes. I like to eat that for breakfast. And I give Ben Cortez, the engineer, the nuts out of it because I don't like the nuts.
Totally agree. And I don't know that now, let me just check with Andrea and Dave. We need all this detail, don't we?
We do.
Yes, we do.
Go ahead. Continue. Don't leave a thing. Don't leave a single thing.
What kind of nuts were they? Actually?
Okay,
they're
ahead.
Almonds.
Go ahead.
The last 2 days, I have tried to order a cheese and fruit bistro box from the Starbucks across the street, and it says it's out of stock. But then when I go in the store, it is sitting right there. And so I asked about it yesterday, and they said, I don't know. I don't know why it's not showing up. So then today I went in there, and I said, hey, this is the second day in a row. I'm trying to order this, and it doesn't show up. And he's like, well, you can just pay for it here. Well,
yeah, that's what I thought.
I know I can just pay for it here, but I don't get the stars to accumulate to my free coffee.
Right.
And
right.
So he did not seem very concerned with my problem of my items not being – I'm standing in the store, and I'm showing them on the app. See, it says sold out right here. But then I'm looking at a whole line of cheese and fruit bistro boxes.
Well, you're the best booker in America. Can't you get me the guy that runs Starbucks and we'll get to the bottom of this?
I'm going to have to work on it. So.
Mary, I think I know the solution.
Hank, yeah?
I have one of the Starbucks gold cards because I physically walk into the store and order stuff.
Yeah.
And whenever I buy, I get those stars automatically on my gold card. So.
Oh, really? Dave Ennett is showing me his star challenge on his phone, too.
I have a free item here, and it's yours, Mary.
It's my free.
I'm giving you my free item.
Thank you very much.
You can't, because then you'd have to transfer it to her, and then she'd have to.
Well, he'd have
it
to go pick
go
it up.
Over to Starbucks and buy it and bring it back.
It's a whole controversy.
See, what I have is I have a wallet, and then I go into places and I give them money, and they give me stuff.
So yes,
I don't get stars for those, but I do get stuff.
God, you're so 2013.
I never have currency on me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We did that circa, what, 2000?
Yeah.
I don't pay
for things.
Please.
I only.
All right, so we're going to get to the bottom of this. You're going to get me the, how great would that be if you got the chairman of Starbucks to get this?
Yeah, explain to me why the app says sold out when you've got them sitting right in the store. And I'm also, sure. The other controversy is they're no longer going to sell one potato, two potato, salt and vinegar chips.
What?
They are my favorite salt and vinegar potato chips.
I brought some in today. They're up here, some salt and pepper.
Wait, I got one more fake outrage. What?
The bigger controversy, which I'm surprised you didn't bring up a few weeks ago, is they used to sell yogurt with fresh blueberries and mm-hmm. granola. And
they did away with that,
too. It's
okay,
awful.
We got to cancel the show.
It's like lemon meringue.
Listen, there's no way that we could
like
cancel.
Lemon chiffon, yeah.
By the way, for the people in Somalia listening, trying to find food for the day, I understand that this may sound like small potatoes to you. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say potatoes. But this is a very big deal on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
Very, very, very big.
Yeah.
And we'll come back and we'll do the top six at six. Lesser importance. Get me the guy from Starbucks. I'll get you the answer. I will.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
Well, the Hawks have another night off in Nashville. A lot of news out of Boston. The good news is the Chicago Bulls, who are like the disappointing, oh, he's got so much potential, but he never realizes it nephew, have won two straight against the top seed in the East and now come home up 2-0. It's hard to fathom. Meanwhile, also in Boston, the New England Patriots leave Boston and head to the White House to meet with their favorite president because Trump has always been a Patriot supporter. But a real surprise overnight, and that is Aaron Hernandez killed himself in jail. Dave, what do we know? He hung himself?
He hung himself. He was found around 4 o'clock Eastern time this morning in his cell, and not a whole lot more information than that. He had been acquitted of the two murders last week, but he was already serving a life sentence in prison for a previous murder conviction. So, 27.
Yes, we don't know what the precipitating event was. How old was he?
27.
What a bizarre wasted life. Give me two pieces of crumpled paper here, Jake, if you're moving on. There's one and one more. And thank you. Sadly, we have other suicide news. Steve Stevens is this lunatic who shot and killed an innocent man on the street Sunday in Cleveland. He was found in Erie, Pennsylvania yesterday. We were talking about McDonald's earlier. How about this? You're working a drive-thru at McDonald's, and this guy pulls through, and you think it's the murderer. I mean, you're pretty sure he's got a gun. And he has his order, but you want to make sure the police can get there to find him. So you know what the kids at McDonald's did? They said, yeah, we're waiting on fries, so they're going to be warm, so give us just a second here. And they stalled him. They stalled him long enough for the police to get there. After a short chase, Stevens pulled off into a parking lot and killed himself in his own car. The downside is obvious, but also you won't be able to find out why he did what he did unless he left more of a trail behind. Investigators are working on that now. Next, Bill O'Reilly's in the news, and maybe not for much longer on Fox News. This thing has kind of taken on a life of its own. After years of alleged sexual harassment and all the sexual harassment that's gone on, at Fox News, under under the creepiness of Roger Ailes, there are women coming out of the woodwork now talking about how Bill O'Reilly awkwardly hit on them. O'Reilly's been on vacation, not addressing this, and his people are supposedly, according to multiple reports, talking to Fox about what a potential exit strategy would look like and how much of a money truck he would take with him when he goes. Next. President Trump in Wisconsin yesterday ordered a new executive order was signed, and it's going to force the government to buy American. Federal contracts would be buy American, and it would also lead to changes in visa programs for foreign workers. On paper, they both look good. Part of the problem President Trump has is justifying why the vast majority of the goods that he buys that he in turn sells, I'm talking about clothing here, he and Ivanka, are all made overseas. So it's Buy American on last year, President Trump. And finally this. Somehow we lost a ship. This would be funny if it wasn't. Remember Donald Trump said the other day that we had sent an armada of ships in a warning to North Korea, and you saw that very impressive a picture of a plane flying overhead and aircraft carrier steaming across the water, we assume towards North Korea to send a message. Remember that? Remember that? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Turns out that wasn't where they were. One of those ships, in fact, was headed towards Australia. Dave, if you look at a map, Australia is kind of in the opposite direction of North Korea.
Yes, it is.
The problem with this is, if you say something as President of the United States that we're sending an armada, that is a threat to the country who's receiving the armada. And then if it turns out that you may not even have known where your ship was because the military is saying we had to finish a training exercise in Australia before we head for North Korea, well, then your threats aren't credible. This is why every word the president says matters and why going forward he should use duct tape, American-made duct tape over his mouth whenever he thinks of something that he wants to say, but he's not sure if he's right about it to begin with. There you go. That's your top six. It's 6:25. We're back with a big story coming up on 720 WGN. I got a text here. This relates to Dave, Andrea, and all involved. Should I be scared that every single day I typically agree with or sympathize with everything Sandberg says? This is from a texter. I got to go with yes.
I'd have to go with yes, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think an immediate checkup is probably appropriate there. Andre, have you thawed off from coming back from Iceland yet?
Yeah, I've thawed off. It's definitely much warmer here than it was there, but I've definitely thawed off. It's been nice here. Beautiful.
Have you wandered out into a city street puddle and pretended it was the Blue Lagoon?
No, but I put on my hat and scarf the other day and thought, oh, gosh, I wish I was back in the cold, in the tundra.
How do you fly directly to Reykjavik, or do you land like on a, you know, in like a pontoon boat somewhere in the northern Atlantic?
That's a great question, though. It's kind of like when you land in Jersey, you know, or if you, I think it's LaGuardia where you land and then there's water on both sides. It's a very quick, it's a very quick landing and then you stop immediately. But yeah, it's very vast. Again, there's only 300,000 people there, so it's very, very, a lot of volcanic rock.
Maybe we should do a Hometown Voices tour there.
That would be very cool. Reykjavik now is such a tourist attraction. You can get a cheap flight, say $99 to Reykjavik if you're going to London, Paris, anywhere in Europe. And now they have deals where you can stay up to 7 days in Reykjavik and then not pay any extra. Well, you have to pay for the hotel, of course, unless you sleep on the tundra or
camp.
Wait
a minute. So I have to fly to London.
Yeah, anywhere.
But for an additional $99, I can go to Reykjavik?
Yeah, okay, you can do a stopover in Reykjavik and stay there for up to 7 days. You know, normally it would be more expensive to fly out or just do instead of a direct. But there's a direct from Chicago. It's only a six-hour flight, five and a half, 6 hours.
And there's a new airline. Peter Greenberg mentioned it last week week before. WOW Airlines, yeah. Which is based in Iceland and flying from O'Hare, I believe, in July.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Let's go. Let's do the show there. How's the traffic there in Reykjavik, Andrea?
Traffic's not bad.
Such a one-track mind. She can't go anywhere and just enjoy herself. She has to look at the traffic.
Traffic is not bad at all. There was no rush hour, which is a good thing.
Public transportation?
There is.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice.
A lot of bikes or mostly dog sleds?
There are a few bikes, but mostly people just walk.
Wow. They walk. So they're a healthy population?
Very healthy, yeah.
Okay, good.
They eat a lot of fish.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Carrie Conti joins us from, I don't think she's at work quite yet, but if you were at work and we wanted to get a hold of you, where would you be working and how would we get a hold of you?
You'd pick up your telephone and you'd call 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
And that's the legal firm that you had called Karen Conti's Big House of Legal Fun.
Something like that, Steve.
It's a good name. It's solid. Hey, you were in last week talking about the United thing. Any update on that or anything else, any place else you expect the case to go since the last time you talked about it?
You know, not really. I just think that what's going to happen is there's going to be a settlement. I think that United is, you know, wants to put this behind them, and now we're hearing, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a couple that was bounced off their flight going to their honeymoon in Costa Rica. And so you're going to hear all of these bad stories on a continuing basis, even though they happen every day on every airline. We're now hearing them because of the popularity of this story. But once the case settles, I think everything's going to calm down and quiet down. So I think that both parties want to get this done. They want to settle it. It's going to happen fast. And people keep asking me about a confidentiality agreement, and I've kind of changed my mind on it because You know, most of the time when you have a settlement, it's confidential as to the terms, let's just say. I mean, usually you can say we settled our case, we settled our dispute, but we don't talk about what the amount is. And I think in this case, United might want that not to be confidential, because if I were United, I think I'd want the world to know that I paid a lot of money to acknowledge my wrongdoing, and now we're going to move forward. So
that's
that
a good
people
point.
Feel like, you know, United did the right thing here. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I actually called Karen. I was going to file a lawsuit, Andrea, because someone stole the armrest.
I know.
And it turns out it was just, I was kind of sleepy and it was me. I was technically going to sue myself.
But you didn't realize you did it, so you might not be liable for it.
That's a very good point. Yeah. Karen said, stop calling. All right, so so let's talk about this Facebook travesty, because it's two branches to me. One is there's got to be in development, or maybe it already exists, the proper technology to be able to identify violence that would allow Facebook to come up with a kill switch. Maybe a bad choice of words, but something to be able to instantly shut down when this sort of hideous video is put up, because this is not the first time it was done when Steve Stevens killed Robert Godwin and then put the video up on Facebook. It took Facebook a while to shut it down. That's one avenue. But the second avenue here is, can you make it a crime to put this stuff on Facebook, and would it be a deterrent?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on the crime. I think, you know, everything that you criminalize, you want it to be for a purpose, right? You want it to be to deter people from doing something really bad. Well, in the case of murder, I mean, murder is one of those crimes where if you're just crazy enough to kill somebody, because it's such an, I mean, normal people don't kill people, right? And to say if you put that crime on Facebook, it's going to deter you, it really won't. These people are nuts. And if you're nuts enough to want to put it on Facebook, you're not going to think twice and say, gosh, let me check out the Illinois law and what is this going to give me a stiffer penalty. On the other hand, I do think there are some crimes that you can deter by criminalizing the publicity of it. For instance, the kind of revenge porn. I think that has been somewhat effective in stopping people from publishing naked pictures of their ex-girlfriend, because that becomes a crime and it's a serious crime and there's ramifications to it. So that could deter it. I just don't think criminalizing the murder of somebody is going to really make it any less likely to happen.
And Karen, too, Facebook, I mean, obviously it's being targeted because obviously that's where he put the video, but you can put this on a YouTube or something like that, so it's not just Facebook. I know they came under fire for keeping it up too long, and once they found out, they took it down, but you could put this anywhere on the internet, correct? It's not just the one social media site.
No, absolutely. It applies to all of the sites. But what's kind of interesting and kind of perverse is that in some ways, by publicizing this crime, he might have gotten himself caught, because so many people saw his face, so many people saw right. and heard about this story that he was caught and was recognized. So in some ways, by putting their stupid crimes on Facebook, it actually helps the police catch them. And that there's so many stories that involve those kind of facts.
If you are old enough to remember, you saw the first live murder on television that preceded this by, well, let's see, I guess it would be about 53 years, and that was Lee Harvey Oswald, right?
That's exactly right, and it's kind of funny, because back then, you know, things just traveled so much more slowly, but that picture and that video went crazy all over the television before anyone knew what really happened. So, yeah, and you see a lot of these criminals. These criminals are proud of their crimes. I mean, they want to publish them. Son of Sam is a good example of that. And they try to, you know, the government tries to stop people from publicizing and profiting from their crimes. And, you know, there's been some First Amendment issues. I remember Son of Sam back then, that was the East Coast case where the guy was, you know, taunting.
His dog was talking to him, yeah.
His dog was talking to him, and he was obviously nuts. But he was taunting the police by publishing things. And once he was arrested and convicted, he tried to get things published and tried to write a book. And there were some cases that came down and said that he's entitled to his First Amendment right, even as obnoxious as that is. You can't stop people from profiting, but you can't stop people from trying to publish something. So, again, you know, the idea that it would be illegal to publish your to try to criminalize a crime on Facebook, those issues could conceivably come up.
Now, I totally agree with you that if somebody's going to kill somebody, they're going to kill somebody. But Is there a way to criminalize some of the other stuff that's gone up on Facebook that, you know, has made news recently, you know, these kids bullying other kids, that would be enough of a deterrent that maybe it would stop them or at least slow them down?
True. And I think in those kind of crimes, there's a slight possibility of deterrent effect. And if there's a slight possibility, then I think we should criminalize it, because if there, you know, it saves one kid from that kind of trauma, I think it's worth it. The other thing that you see cited quite a bit when it comes to these issues is these people post like killing animals and things like that on Facebook. And that's something that you could criminalize as being obscene, if nothing else. And again, that could pose a deterrent effect.
You know, there's a responsibility that the business has here. And what is that responsibility of Facebook? Because obviously inside the walls of Facebook and in their board meetings, they don't want to be faced with lawsuits and bad press and all the publicity and the big checks they have to write. How much better do they have to be at controlling their own content?
Well, you know, I think for the most part, they're really just the forum, and I think they have a lot of legal immunity because they're not the ones, you know, soliciting this kind of stuff. And how much can they do? How much can they guard against? But I think the more they do, probably the more they're liable, meaning, you know, they keep raising their standards as far as if, you know, what is the standard of affairs in social media to stop, you know, obscene things from being published? You know, is there a certain program that they have to buy? And if Facebook has it, but another social media outlet doesn't, does that make them culpable? So I think by actually doing a good job, they sometimes raise the bar, if you will, from a legal standpoint, and now all social media might have to reach that level. So I think they have some responsibility, but I don't think ultimately you can stop people from doing stupid things on Facebook. You just can't. I think once you have notice of it, you can take it down, and I think those kinds of things should be in place. And I think from a legal standpoint, you know, that would set a standard that they have to meet.
It just seems to me that with the development of the algorithms that are needed to operate the highest level of gaming that goes on, and obviously the targeted advertising that we all get now, there would be a way to identify that somebody is shooting someone and to shut that video down or to put it through a second level of screening. You know, it's like a two-item authentic. What is it called? Where you have to do a double identity check before you can sign on to some sites. You can do it on Gmail and different things. It just seems like they're not doing enough. And I'm not just knocking on Facebook here. I'm just saying Facebook and Twitter and everybody else involved in this. And Twitter's taken some steps against radical fundamentalist terrorists. You got to be better. You just do. You just have to be better. If you want to operate and profit in a civilized society, you have to be better at stopping this stuff.
But wouldn't it open up a whole new can of worms too, Steve and Karen? Because then you go into the realm of what if you buy something online, like a weapon that's used in a crime? I mean, then would you target Amazon or Walmart or whoever, you know, the company would be? I mean, is that a whole new issue?
Sure, why not?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the wild, wild west, isn't it, Karen? I mean, you got to write these laws as they come up.
It's true. We didn't. Our founding fathers didn't anticipate any of this stuff. So we're all taking this as it comes. And the technology, like you said, the algorithms or whatever that would prevent something like this from actually being published, is that even invented yet? And how sophisticated is that? And how difficult is that to implement? Is that something that's relatively inexpensive? Does it matter? Are we going to make Facebook be the technological like pioneers and make them come up with an algorithm that works? Again, the perverse side of this, as I said before, is that much of this stuff allows stupids of the world to be caught because it's all on Facebook. And so many crimes have been solved this way. So I think even the stuff when you talk about the fundamental the terrorist stuff, I know as a fact that the FBI is hot on, you know, watching Facebook and watching these social media because that's how they communicate with their followers. So that's one avenue for them to actually catch people.
It's a hot mess, and County will fix it by 10. And then she'll call us and let us know that it's done.
Thank you. Actually,
at 10 o'clock, Bill and Wendy are here. We need that done by 9:45.
If anyone can do it, she can do it.
It's Karen Conti. She's very busy, but she takes time for us to teach us the law, and we appreciate it. Enjoy your day.
Okay, you too. Bye.
after 7 o'clock. How much is it going to cost to bomb the hell out of ISIS? Remember when President Trump said he was going to bomb the hell out of ISIS?
I do remember that.
All right, we're going to find out how much it's going to cost to bomb the hell out of ISIS. Later on in this program, the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN, Jordan Goodman will be on. It's Jordan Goodman Day. You guys love Jordan Goodman.
Oh, he's the best.
Jordan Goodman will be on talking money. And after 9, terrorist, thug, dictator expert Micah Halpern will join us, and Micah is going to try to explain exactly how dangerous Kim Jong-un is. Or I prefer the John McCain, Senator McCain name for Kim Jong-un, the crazy little fat kid. .654, they had a problem, Dave. I don't know if you covered this in Sports Chat this morning. During a Sarasota Open tennis match this week between Francis Tiafoe and Mitchell Krueger.
Mm-hmm, yes. I haven't covered it, no, but yes, I've heard of it.
You know the story.
Yes.
The announcer tried to keep his cool throughout what was a kind of an embarrassing stoppage of play. At some point, Tiafoe had to stop as well and start giggling before he could serve again because there was a nearby apartment complex to the Sarasota Open tennis site where two people were humping like jackrabbits and making a lot of noise.
Okay, did they have a PA system or something? I still don't quite get this.
It seemed like an odd echo was going on. but Tiafoe, at some point, couldn't serve, and he yelled out, "It can't be that good." no word yet on exactly who it was and whether they're okay. I mean, they sounded really, really okay. But the match did go on, Dave, as far as we know.
As far as we know. I do have the audio, but I think it needs to be pre-screened before we run it.
good call.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and have Jake go through that several times for, you know, to make sure it's okay. Jake, how many times will you have to listen to that before you decide it's okay?
It's okay.
Oh, it's okay?
That was on the air.
Yes, that was actually on the air.
You're on the air.
Yes, it actually was, yes. All right, do we have it now or you want to play it later?
I could play it. I have not listened to it.
All right, so. Well, let's consider it. Yeah. Exactly what's going on. Yeah. We have one other sports note, and of course it involves the great athlete Mike Madigan. We haven't done the Mike Madigan game in a long time on the show. Why don't we do that today? Sometime in the 9 o'clock CLTV hour when you hear the crickets, be the seventh caller. What do the crickets mean, Andrea?
That means that Mike Madigan has not appeared on, well, how many shows are we in now? 886.
886. He is 0 for 886.
Yes.
If you hear the crickets, it means, once again, he's declined my invitation to come on the show and defend his criminal activity. Alleged criminal activity.
I didn't realize he was such an athlete, Steve.
Yes, he's quite an athlete. Yeah. Friends of Mike Madigan have spent $122,869,000 on Cubs tickets and $46,245,000 on Sox tickets in the first quarter of the new year.
Wow.
Steve Brown, the last person close to Madigan to appear on the show. Remember when Steve Brown was on and he promised me Madigan would be on?
Yes. He was it, what, about a year ago?
Yeah, a year and a half ago.
Year and a half, yeah.
Steve Brown said the Chicago Democrat likes both teams, but he's probably more of a Sox fan.
Ah.
Not according to how much he's spending. Madigan doesn't use the tickets themselves. They're used by volunteers and supporters as a thank you. The other big payment was $60,000 in three installments to Sawbridge Studios, which makes handmade gifts for your desk or office. So 60, 122, that's about $240,000 on gifts for people helping out Mike Madigan.
Wow, that's a lot of coin.
Yeah, and by the way, all legal, no reason to be suspicious. Everything's fine. Mike Madigan's completely above board. How could you think anything differently? We're back after this on 720 WG.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
ISIS is making a tremendous amount of money because they have certain oil camps, right? They have certain areas of oil that they took away. They have some in Syria, some in Iraq. I would bomb the out of them. I would just bomb those suckers. And that's right. I'd blow up the pipes. I'd blow up the refinery. I'd blow up every single inch. There would be nothing left. And you know what? You'll get Exxon to come in there in 2 months. You ever see these guys, how good they are, the great oil companies? They'll rebuild that sucker brand new. It'll be beautiful. And I'd ring it and I take the oil.
That's the guy we voted for? Wow. 712. Andrew Goss is with us. Andrew's a currency expert, author of The Secret World of Money. And Uncle Sam Cook's the book. You can actually get his CD explaining the American monetary system. Pretty entertaining. What's the best way to do that, Sandberg? They just call you at home?
Yeah, call me at 800-468-2646.
Thanks for being on. We appreciate it. All right, so if we're $20 trillion in debt now and we know war is expensive, it's a worthy discussion to discuss how much it's going to cost to continue the tough talk and follow it up, if needed, with tough action. So let's start with the obvious. How much did the 59 Tomahawks cost us?
Well, they're about $1 million each, so let's call it $60 million, just for rounding.
So $60 million to send a message. Now, I am willing to pay my fair share, or in some cases more than my fair share, of that $60 million. I think that was a good message to send, and that seems reasonable. What I was surprised in looking through the notes, Andrew, is the mother of all bombs seems like quite a bargain. Did we get this on sale?
Well, that was just the cost to drop it. Thank goodness we don't we didn't have to pay for it, but the cost to drop it was $170,000, just to load it in the plane and take it over there and drop it on them. So unlike the Tomahawks, which I figured at their cost, $1 million apiece, because as soon as we shoot one of those, we replace it. Those GB Ute 43s, those massive mother of all bombs, we don't necessarily replace them as soon as we drop them.
Now, you make a point in your notes, if we apply 100% of your personal income taxes towards the bill, take about 1,000 average Americans working full-time for 6 years to pay for the 59 Tomahawks. So,
right.
You know, this is not something that politicians advertise when they talk tough. And it's not just Trump, it's anybody.
Right. They just tell us they're going to bomb that whatever out of ISIS. I mean, you know, it sounded good on the campaign trail, but when you get down into practice, can we afford to bomb them back into the Stone Age? I really don't know that we can. Military spending right now makes up about a quarter of the total budget. And considering that 75 cents of every tax dollar that we create is that we collect, rather, is necessary just to pay the interest or debt service, principal and interest of our amortized national debt, that only leaves enough for defense and then nothing else.
And what we know is the North Korean army is vicious and huge, and it would be unbelievably expensive to take them on in protecting our Pacific, Southern Pacific allies, you know, protecting Japan, protecting South Korea. There's a reason the Korean War never ended. And if we're $5 trillion in the hole now, and that's a rough estimate, do we have any idea how much fighting North Korea would cost?
Oh, goodness. No, we don't even want to think about it. Truth is, we probably can't fight anyone right now when you look at our fiscal situation. You know, given the $20 trillion debt, the checking account is depleted, our borrowing ability has been reached. You know, the only thing we can do is use up our current ordinance, which, you know, I'm sure they'll do. But in harsh reality, we really can't afford to go to war.
So take me backwards on this. How did we pay for World War One? How did we pay for World War Two? How, you know, were we in this kind of hole when you go back to those dollars and today's dollars?
No, of course not. We had a gold standard. We had a silver standard. You knew what a dollar was. And so if Congress wanted to go to war or build a bridge or do whatever, they had to borrow the money from the American public. And if the American public didn't want to loan it to them, well, they couldn't do what they did. And additionally, if they borrowed too much, they would crowd out all the other borrowers. You know, it'd be like hogs at the table. And there'd be nothing else for small business to eat or individuals. There'd be no borrowing going on except for government borrowing. And so World War One, World War Two were financed through this mechanism of liberty bonds, war bonds. You support the government's effort, you buy their bonds. Starting in 1971, however, we closed the gold window because of the Vietnam War, so unpopular, no one would buy the bonds. So Congress simply started, I don't want to say its own bank, but that's essentially what happened. Once they severed the tie to gold, then the Federal Reserve was allowed to create as much money as Congress wanted to borrow. And so that's been 20 times what, you know, when Ronald Reagan took office, we had $1 trillion in debt. Now we have 20.
I want to get Andrea in here with you as well, but before we go any further, does this go to the powers of the presidency being extended too far? And should Congress be involved in this discussion before we spend another dollar?
No. My grandfather used to say, he was a tobacco farmer. He used to say, if these guys, meaning Congress, had to spend real money,
right,
meaning gold and silver coins as called for by the Constitution, then they couldn't do what they do. So the check and balance was put into the Constitution to prevent this. Simply, Article 1, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. Our current monetary system totally violates the Constitution and bypasses that check and balance that was put in place.
And when did that start?
1971, right. It's, you know, it's not like it was 1,000 years ago.
Right.
It's right in our lifetime. In 1971, we closed the gold window. At the time, gold was $35 an ounce. Silver was $1.29.
But you could go back to that tomorrow. I mean, if you had the will to do it.
Absolutely, yes. But, again, Congress would be constrained because every time they went out into the general marketplace to attempt to borrow dollars, which would be gold or silver-backed, the crowding out effect that they used to teach us in economics school, you know, guns or butter, that was your choice. You either spend your money, borrow money and feed your people, or you borrow money and buy guns. And so Congress found a way to circumvent the will of the people and allow themselves to borrow money from our children and our grandchildren and now our great-grandchildren. They don't vote. So they talk about taxation without representation.
Yeah, that's it.
These kids are going to be born into a $50,000 national debt will be their share. If a child is born today, he owes 50 grand right out of the box.
Andrea?
All right, wanted to know, Andy, first of all, if North Korea, they keep test firing these missiles. We always hear about these missile tests, and I assume they go into the water and then they lose them. They can't retract them. They can't find them again and reuse them. How much money is it costing them? How much money are they losing every time they do this? And how quickly are they just mass producing these so they can keep test firing them?
Well, they're losing similar amounts. You know, you figure if a Tomahawk costs us $1 million, one of those dumb rockets that they fire has a similar price. But remember, the whole resources of the country are devoted towards national defense. Mm-hmm. So
they don't care about feeding their own people as
right.
much as we do.
That's exactly a great point. Right. If we did an all-out attack or an assault on ISIS, just, you know, say over a period of 2 weeks or whatever it would there be an extra tax for this for the American people, or is that all allotted for in the military budget?
Well, in the past, when the only place that you could raise money was by raising taxes, that would have been their choice. You know, you're going to go to war, you're going to spend this money, we need to raise taxes. But now we can go to war and borrow every penny that we need. And this is the ironic part. You know, Congress writes a bond, IOU $1 billion. They hand it over to the Federal Reserve banks, starting with the Fed of New York. The Fed creates on a computer $1 billion,
right,
and then loans it to Congress at interest. So not only do they get the use of the money, which has absolutely no substance, because remember, it's just created on a computer screen, but then they collect the interest on top of it. And my question is, what the heck do we need that middleman there for? Why don't we just nationalize the Federal Reserve? And if Congress can make a bond, well, then it can certainly make the bill. It doesn't need the Federal Reserve to create the money and then loan it to them. That just seems absurd.
The opportunity cost is huge, obviously, and usually the social programs are impacted first.
Yes.
But it's not until schools and your own kids start to see the hardship of this that it goes on, because people don't wrap their heads around $20 trillion. But when you turn Congress loose to do what they want, when they want, how they want, without any penalty or responsibility, this is what you get. Is there any upside to this? Is there any money to be made in this sort of climate?
Well, I hate to be so mercenary, but yes, there is. Obviously, with inflation comes higher commodity prices. So I buy and sell American gold and silver coins. But any tangible physical item, when there's more money in circulation, it just costs more to buy everything. So the upside is anything tangible, physical, art, antiques, jewelry, gold, silver,
hard goods,
resources, right? And the bad investments are bonds, bills, notes, corporates, municipal bonds, treasury bonds, anything that yields a fixed rate of interest, annuities. Now, these are all subject to loss because of inflation. So as you see the dollar go less and less far, obviously if you're on a fixed income, you better adjust accordingly.
Want to see the CD or get the CD on how the money system works from Andrew Goss' perspective or anything else you're doing? How do we stay in touch with you or get a hold of you?
Actually, I have three of them. You can go to andygoss.com and read. But if you want to listen, I have three audio CDs, The Federal Reserve, The Definition of Money, and Protecting Your Wealth. You can get all three of those free. You know, you just have to mention you heard it on Steve's show. No one will ask you for a payment method. We'll send you these three absolutely free. And make your own determination. I think once you listen to this, you might decide that storing your wealth in Federal Reserve notes is not a good way to go.
And spell it again, last name?
Goss, G-A-U-S-E. Best way is to call the 800 number, 800-468-2646. Again, mention the Steve Cochran Show. We'll send you these absolutely free. It's the Federal Reserve, Protecting Your Wealth, and The Definition of Money. Three half-hour CDs that, with the companion booklets, that'll give you quite an education on the monetary system.
Already got one, too, from you, Andrew, and you're always welcome here. Thanks, Andy. Let's do this. Traffic, and then back with Jordan Goodman on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the
Jordan Goodman joins us. We love Jordan. MoneyAnswers.com is the website for everything you ever needed to know about your money. Jordan, we were just talking to Andrew Goss. How do you feel about gold and silver?
Well, it's been rising sharply lately, Steve. It was about $1,100 for a long time. Lately, it's gone up to about $1,300. And I think it's part of the worry about North Korea and Syria and wars around the world. But I think the kind of gridlock in Washington doesn't help either. So gold's had a pretty good move here, and I think it's going to go higher.
How about silver?
Silver's had an even bigger move than gold. Gold went about, maybe at the beginning of the year, about 1,200 to 1,300. Silver went from about 12 to now about 17. So percentage-wise, silver's had an even bigger move. You could buy physical coins. The way I would play it would be exchange-traded funds, ETFs, where they own physical gold or silver. The gold one is GLD. And the silver one is SLV. Those are pure ways to play gold without having to worry about storage or getting ripped off or, you know, having to worry about holding the thing physically.
Sure, sure. Even though it's fun to have one, it's easier to do it the other way, GLD or SLV. We're going to talk about everything you need to know in your personal financial life. And Jordan will give us some perspective on what's happening as well. And Jordan, by the way, I thought what we'd do is we'd give away a Tomahawk missile before 8.
Oh, great. Seventh give it caller. To less than a million? Give them a deal, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, we buy them in volume.
Okay.
So we'll do that coming up. MoneyAnswers.com. We used to say, whenever Jordan and I have been doing this for years, whenever it used to be, I would say, get a pen, get a piece of paper. We know you people don't write anymore. You've lost your ability to write. So you can go to MoneyAnswers.com. Certainly you can write it down if you choose. But all your resources that are going to be discussed here and all the resources we don't even have time to get to are right there at MoneyAnswers.com. Let's come back, get the big story before we get back to Jordan next on 720 WGN.
I need a dollar, that's what I need. Well, I need a dollar, that's what I need. Said I need a dollar,
back with Jordan Goodman, MoneyAnswers.com. What is the biggest money story of the day, Jordan?
I think interest rates, long-term interest rates falling is pretty dramatic. The 10-year Treasury, which not that long ago, about a month ago, was about 2.6, is down to about 2.2. That is one of the biggest drops we've seen in a very short period of time, and that's telling you something. I think that's telling you that the bond market, which is always very smart, thinks the economy is slowing, that there's less demand for money. It's also kind of a safety haven. People put money into bonds when they're worried about things. Just as we talked before about gold being up, when Treasury bond prices go up and yields go down, that's also telling you people are worried about things. So that's been leading. The stock market's been doing well, except the last few days here. But the bond market has, it's telling you that things are really getting weaker here.
And what's the play then? What's the move?
Well, I would not putting a lot of money in treasury bonds. I don't want to commit my money for 10 years to get 2.2%. I mean, I've mentioned before, one of the most popular things your listeners always ask me about is a way of getting a higher yield. You can get an 8% yield very safely with commercial real estate income funds. And there's a website for that, commercialrealestateincomefunds.com. They've got a phone number too, 888-444-2012. You get 8% over 1 year. You get monthly checks. If you want, you can take the checks. You can reinvest them back into the fund. And what they're doing is lending money to short-term real estate projects that use it over typically 1 year to renovate or improve themselves, and they pay the money back. Maximum they lend against the property is 70%, so-called loan-to-value. So there's a lot of safety built into it. So I'd rather get 8% with no market volatility than 2.2% with lots of market volatility in bonds these days.
Sure. Yeah, that math seems to make sense. Nobody's fooling you. You talk about this audience is very, very busy, and this audience is very active, and this audience uses you. Sure. What's the one question that comes up more than any other from our people?
Well, debt, in addition to how to get interest on my money, is how to get out of debt. Just this last week, the numbers came out on credit card debt. $1 trillion in credit card debt, first time ever we've gone over a trillion. About 60% of people pay it off in full every month, 40% revolve the balances. And those are the people I hear from your listeners, like, oh my God, I'm paying 18%. I paid late by one microsecond, it's now 30%. You know, what do I do about that kind of thing?
Sure.
So two things. First of all, they can get lower interest credit cards. They do not have to be paying 18 or 25%. Free website, guidetocreditcard.com, will give you all the best deals. Frequent flyer miles, rebates, whatever you want. Disney points, there's lots of different cards out there, but you have to go for the one that's best for you. And then if you're in the situation where you've got a lot of credit card debt and the banks aren't going to give you a break, go to a nonprofit credit counseling place because they can get your rates of like 6%, 7%, something like that, help you get out of debt much quicker. My favorite place there is called Cambridge Credit Counseling. CambridgeCredit.org, their website, phone number 800-897-2200. They've also helped a lot of GM listeners in the past because you don't have to be suffering. You know, if you pay the minimum on a credit card, Steve, and you have 18% interest, it could take you 30 years to pay it off. So that's not something you want to be hanging over.
No, that's not advisable, kids. Car loans, I can again and again and again and again and again.
Yes.
People are freaking out about car loans. Are you freaking out about car loans?
Well, what's happening is we're all about $1.2 trillion in car loan debt outstanding right now. And the big growth in car loans is to subprime people who have not such great credit, under 600 in some cases. And so the delinquency rate is doubled in the last year. And particularly with domestic companies, GM, Ford, and Chrysler are the biggest subprime auto lenders. And it's definitely a concern out there. One of the reasons they're willing to make loans in the past they might not have, Steve, is they put these devices in your car that if you don't make your payment, they turn your car off instantly. No matter, you could be in the middle of the highway. It's like, nope, you didn't make your payment. We just turned your car off. That's kind of dangerous. But as a result of that, they're willing to make loans because in the past they had to chase people around with the repo trucks. Now they know exactly where you are with GPS and they just turn your car off. So they go pick it up that way. But it is definitely a concern out there that people are taking on bigger car loans than they can afford and for much longer time frames. You know, it used to be 3 years. Now it's like 6 years or more. Something you can do about that is to refinance your car loans to a much lower interest rate at a website, MyLoanGen, G-E-N, MyLoanGen.com. It's a free website. You put in your current car loan interest rate, how many more months you have to go. And then it says, okay, you go and it has a little dial and you choose the payment that you can afford. Say you extend it out, that's going to lower your payment, and then you can avoid getting your car repossessed. It goes to a series of credit unions around the country who will instantly make you the loan and save you a ton of money on your car loans.
You know, a lot of times people go, well, yeah, I want to do that, but then I don't want to be hassled by 9 million robocalls
right.
from people that
no
don't
calls.
Know I already did the deal. There's no yeah. calls?
No calls. It's all electronically online. So you set the car loan level that you want. So
right.
currently you're paying $500 a month, and you extend the loan from 3 years to 6 years, whatever it may be, and that brings you down to $200 a month, whatever it comes out to be. You click submit, and then there's a bunch of credit unions around the country that compete for your business and give you online offers, and then you say, this is the one I want. You click select, and you've just refinanced your car loan and saved yourself a ton of money. And even better, avoid the repo man. That's a good thing to do.
It's a very good thing to do.
Again, the website for that, MyLoanGen, G-E-N, MyLoanGen.com, free website.
I want to ask you about taxes, in particular, if you believe that there is going to be tax reform anytime in your lifetime or mine or my granddaughter's lifetime. So we'll get to that coming up.
Okay.
Also, let's get to whiny staff questions. You know, the whiny staff, they may have some questions. And some. Andrea, check those texts, see if we have some text messages coming in for Jordan as well. 312-981-7200. Mary, you go with traffic first. Jordan Goodman's YourMoneyAnswers.com is the website. Jordan, taxes.
Sure.
The original discussion from Munchin and Company, not a Muppet, he's the Treasury Secretary, was that they'd get some tax deal done by tax reform done by October, which was ridiculous.
Well, the August recess, he actually said earlier as well.
It would right.
In law by the August recess. That's not going to happen. Yeah.
Is there tax changes coming? Is that realistic?
Well, there's a tremendous momentum for it, but whether they can get it through, I mean, obviously there's going to be no Democratic cooperation whatsoever, so it's got to be within the Republicans. It's going to be a completely partisan bill. The question is, can the Republicans agree on anything? Because the Freedom Caucus has its own views, different from the moderate Republicans like Paul Ryan, and that's what killed health care. That's what's got the markets a little worried right now, because if they couldn't get health care through, every Republican ran on repeal and replace, and when they got down to it, they couldn't pull it off. Maybe the same is going to be through a tax reform. And certainly, tax reform is more complicated than health care because there's all these interest groups. Whenever you open the tax code, everybody has their things they've been waiting to do for a long time. The last time we had a major tax bill was 1986 when Reagan and Bill Bradley together got that done, if you remember. So it's been a long, long time. And so we'll see. I mean, the stock market has really been anticipating getting a tax bill through. If it doesn't happen, that's going to be a major disappointment. And I think one of the reasons the stock market's been kind of shaky lately is maybe tax bill won't happen.
The alternative minimum tax is a bane to success in this country in a lot of ways. So yeah. Will that go away?
They're proposing it. That's part of what they're talking about. Remember when Trump's, I guess it was 2005, tax returns came out. His income was like $150 million, something like that.
Right.
And without the AMT, he would have paid nothing. he paid
right.
$38 million because of the AMT. And it's because when you're in real estate, you have a lot of depreciation, and that would wipe out all of his tax liability. So, I mean, it is a pain to go through, but I think it does make sense to make sure that high-income people do pay something, because he would have been a classic case, and that's probably been true every year. He's probably been paying the AMT, because otherwise all the real estate tax deductions would have wiped out his tax liability.
Well, why don't we change it to the AT&T and call it the alternative Trump tax? I'm fine if they take more of his money.
They might do that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to release his tax. It was really interesting on tax day on April 15th how you had all these demonstrations, not about paying taxes, but about Trump releasing his taxes. It's going to become a distraction here.
Let's go to whiny staff questions. Andrea Darlis.
All right, Jordan. I went to it. I actually did walk into a bricks and mortar department store the other day. They asked if I wanted to put it on the bill on my, let's say, Macy's charge. I said, I don't have one. They said, well, yes, you do. I didn't even realize I had that. And I know we've talked about before not having a zillion credit cards open. If I close that account, will that ping my credit? And if in checking I find, say, another one, like a Pier 1 or whatever it might be, and I start closing those because I don't want those, does that affect your credit negatively?
It only affects your credit negatively if you have a good payment history on them, because you're losing a good payment history. If you haven't used it for a long time, you have no payment history, it's not going to affect your credit. In fact, a lot of these retail stores close your account automatically after typically about 18 months without using it.
Okay.
I've had that all the time. Here's an old Bloomingdale's card to try to use it. It's been deactivated a long time ago. So they even do it for you, and that does not affect your credit.
Okay, but closing those out is not going to affect anything, say,
If you have been using it and paying on time, that helps your credit. So that would hurt your credit score if you're losing the good credit history. If you don't have a credit history, it's not going to hurt your credit.
Got it. Perfect.
Sandberg.
So I know we want to pay off credit card debt, but we also want to build up like a cash reserve.
Yes.
Can't always do both at the same time. So which is the most important to have, some cash on hand or get that debt?
I think you can do the same. I think you can do them both, Mary, because if you just wait to pay off all your debt, then you never build up any investments or cash reserve. So kind of as you get your debt down, get your cash up. I mean, I've given you already on this show two different ways to do that. Get your debt down, CambridgeCredit.com.
Hello?
I'm here, but we lost Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Is Jordan gone? Did Jordan go bye-bye?
Here.
Oh.
I'm here. I'm here.
There we are. Okay, sorry.
Okay, I didn't go anywhere. Anyway, I was just saying that, use the things we just talked about. Get your credit card debt down by CambridgeCredit.org instead of paying 18.
Right, six, I know that, Jordan, but if I have $300 extra dollars in a month, and
I would at least put 100 of it aside.
100 of it aside, okay. And then,
because you want to have a little bit of reserve fund.
I mean, yeah,
if things go wrong,
yeah.
You don't want to have no money in the bank
right.
at all.
Right.
So, yes, that would be a way of at
keep
least
100, 200 to the debt.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you.
All right, how about texters? Any text questions, Andrea?
Yeah, there are a few text questions. Some people, here's a good one, Jordan. I need a credit card, but I was turned down because of no credit history. How can I establish history, and what is the best card for me? I have a steady job. I'm making about $40,000 a year. I'm 29.
The way to do it is what's called a secured credit card, which means you put up a certain amount of money, and they give you a credit line for that amount. So you put up $500, and they'll give you a $500 credit line. And then if you don't pay the bill, they've already got the money, so they're not taking any risk that way. And over about a year, you establish a credit record through a secured credit card, and then you can kind of graduate to an unsecured card after you've proven yourself. That's the way to establish credit if they've been turned down. The same website I gave before, guidetocreditcard.com, you can find the best secured credit cards anywhere in the country.
Okay, another one saying give the website for the credit card offers again, and then
guidetocreditcard.com.
Okay, and then this person had a similar question that I did. If you already have a lot of store credit cards and don't use them, should you close them? You said yes.
If you don't use them, right.
Okay, how about can you repeat the contact info on commercial real estate bonds that earn 8%?
Okay, that's commercial real estate income funds with an S, funds.com, and the phone number 888-444-2012. That's the way to get 8% safely over 1 year.
And one more on student loan. Still having issues paying it. Anything else I can do to lower the payment? I'm not
Absolutely.
Able to refi since it will raise the payment. These are graduate student loans.
Absolutely. So you can combine your private loans, your federal loans, your undergraduate, your graduate, all these different loans into one loan at a newer interest rate, lower interest rate. A place called Credible, C-R-E-D-I-B-L-E, credible.com. Put /money answers. They know it's me. That way you get $200 off your first payment. And they've also got a phone number, 855-870-6005. There's about eight different places where they're going to shop your student loan to. Just like we talked about on the car loans, you can do the same thing on student loans. And typically you're going to pay between 2 and 3% as opposed to 8 or 10 or whatever they're charging on student loans these days.
Perfect.
All right, so Jordan, if there's one thing you want people to do with their money today, what do you want them to do?
I would say get cautious. I mean, I think the market's going to go down a lot more here. I think it's a time to get cautious. We've had this big move up on expectations, but I think it's time to get cautious. The other thing that's about to happen in 2 weeks, Steve, was we may close the government down again. Nobody's talking about that. But April 28th, if they don't come up with a budget, we start closing the national parks and everything else gets closed down again. And that's
right.
going to make people nervous in the next 2 weeks as well. They're going to have 2 days after they get back from the Easter recess to do a budget. And Congress doesn't tend to work that fast. So that's worrying me as well.
It's Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com, the best resource for your money, period. Moneyanswers.com. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Dean is stuck on the Disney lot in L.A. I think he's at the Disney lot. He's on some damn lot. We'll get our pal from Milwaukee to throw in some entertainment news in a second.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Dean is on another one of his boondoggles, spending Tribune money. Wandering around L.A., throwing hundreds here and there. Matt Miller joins us from on Milwaukee, at on Milwaukee on Twitter, on Milwaukee.com. He never leaves his house. That's really the key component of an entertainment critic, a reporter, is to never leave your house unless you're going somewhere to see entertainment, and then you immediately return home and consume more entertainment. Is that right?
This is the natural habitat of the entertainment reporter. Yes, I sit at home, I watch Netflix, or I'm watching movies, or I'm watching concerts, or I'm reading about all of those things. It is a lonely life, but it is a wonderful life.
Yes, and your shallow is our benefit. We appreciate it. At A Man About Film. And Andre, we have a controversy this morning. We have a controversy in show business.
Uh-oh.
We've got trouble in show business.
No.
People Magazine is named their most beautiful woman in the world. Do you know who it is?
I do know who it is. I agree with it, but I was a little surprised.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. I'm conflicted. It's Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts is the most beautiful woman in the world. Right? Certainly. Breaking news.
And she certainly is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But I thought, there's nobody newer?
Yeah, why is she in the forefront this year?
I don't know. That's my question. Let's go to Matt on this, who knows everything.
Well, I mean, when you're the star of Smurfs The Lost Village, I mean, when you're the star of a hot movie like that, I mean, obviously you're going to... Yeah, it's an interesting choice. Like we've all said, she definitely qualifies as beautiful. She's a wonderful human being. But, yeah, it's like when David Beckham won a few years ago, and it was like, no, totally, that's totally legit for most handsome men, not for most beautiful women. And when he won, and everyone was like, that's really cool. He's super handsome. He's a good dude. But wasn't his, like, prime, like, 10 years ago? Wasn't it? And it's just a little – it's an odd choice, but not an unworthy one.
I agree with you. It's not unworthy, but it does seem like there are other names that maybe would jump forward. Like, who would you name? I don't know. I guess if I say that, I should have somebody at the tip of my tongue. Who is the hot female right now?
I mean, if this was 2 years ago, you'd go with, say, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
But she fell off the map so hard. She almost became too real. Like, it's hard for women celebrities. And, you know, everyone loved how real she was tripping at the Oscars. And then after a while, people got real tired of that real fast. And it was very peculiar. So I guess she wouldn't qualify anymore. I mean, Anna Kendrick and Emma Stone. I mean, Emma Stone's coming off that Oscar win, being in one of the most beloved movies of the last year. I think she would have been a pick that I think a lot of people would have been behind. Those are two that come immediately to my mind.
I would have thought the same thing. Anna Kendrick, but she hasn't been. I mean, I know she had that flop wedding movie recently, but the new Pitch Perfect's coming out. And I also thought maybe Angelina Jolie, but I think people are kind of getting tired of her.
And she kind of would qualify as the Julia Roberts thing, too, where what has Angelina done, really, particularly lately? They're already recasting
her. Well, she got a divorce.
A new Tomb Raider. She's not even Tomb Raider anymore.
Right.
You know who I thought of?
I felt like she nailed her divorce, but I guess that wouldn't be a qualifier.
She hasn't been on the cover of People for 26 years. Or actually, her first cover was 26 years ago.
Oh, wow. I mean, when you're gracing headlines and all that stuff, I mean,
yeah.
it's such an admirable publication. So, I mean, but yeah.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it's your Bible, amongst others. Talking to Matt Miller from On Milwaukee. What about Margot Robbie? She's hot. She's new.
That would have been an excellent choice as well. And she was one of the only redeemable aspects of Suicide Squad last year. So she deserves something for making that watchable.
What about George Clooney's wife, Amal? I mean, she's very internationally beautiful. She's having twins
right
now. That's
a great idea.
I think she'd be perfect.
That would have been a good one, but then you get in that tough thing where are you going to be referencing her the whole time as George Clooney's wife? And then, you know,
Not if you want to get up in the morning without being in pain.
I don't think she's that big.
People.
She's not a really big movie star, though.
But she's an ambassador to the world.
You need a Hollywood actress, though.
She's a lawyer.
But go back and look through... Andrea, have your best people on this. Go back and look through
now.
The list of most beautiful women in the world. Are they always celebrity stars, or have they picked regular people in the past?
I think if they're always celebrity stars, because it's the People magazine.
Well, check it out. Maybe there's been one or two. I like the Amal idea a lot.
Yeah, or Kate Middleton even, you know?
Mm-hmm. Kate Middleton's not bad, too.
Yeah.
You know what would have been an interesting pick as well? I'm going to throw this out there. Helen Mirren is freaking outstanding.
I thought the same thing. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, I love Helen Mirren.
I think she's awesome. Unfortunately, she's in the new Fast and the Furious movie, which is not very good. But, I mean, Helen
what?
Mirren...
The new Fast and Furious movie isn't great? What?
It's, hey, as one who actually loves the last three Fast and the Furious movies, emotionally devastated watching that movie, how not good it was.
Well, we've already established, Matt, that you don't leave the house enough. All right, so while we do the research here, what else is going on in show business?
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 opening up the summer season in a couple of weeks, but already people know it has not one, not two, not three, not four, but five post-credit sequences.
What? That's, yes. that's a whole other movie.
Exactly. You know what? Maybe the movie is just post-credit sequences. Maybe the end credits start the movie, and then the rest of the movie is just the names of the people behind the movie, and then, you know, a 5 or 10 minute long scene that has something to do with a future Marvel movie. It is almost a self-parody of these Marvel post-movie teasers.
Are they goofing on people? Why would they do that?
I mean, I think they want to really start teasing because, I mean, they're ramping up to the big Infinity War movie, which is pretty much every Marvel character in the same movie at the same time. So I think they're going to try to really start setting that up. And at the same time, Guardians of the Galaxy had Little Baby Dancing Groot last time around, and that went viral, and everyone loved Little Baby Dancing Groot. So how are you going to top that? Probably with 2 or 3 Little Baby Dancing Groot end credit sequences. So it's just, it's ridiculous. And you know what? As one who worked as a movie theater usher, we hate these things because we just want to go in there and clean the theaters, and we can't because you people keep watching the movie.
Well, seriously, how long could that take after the movie's over? 5 sequences has got to be another 10 minutes.
That's probably, yeah, I was going to say that's normally about, your average credits are about 3-4 minutes afterwards, and you toss in some extra scenes that you know everyone's going to stick around for. It's probably an extra 5 minutes onto the running time, and like I said, those ushers have movies to clean. Where is the respect for the movie theater usher?
How about that? All right, give me one more.
One more for you. Summerfest announced its full lineup on Jimmy Kimmel Live last week, and that was pretty exciting. As well as we had Milwaukee Day on Friday, but everyone else is celebrating Star Wars new trailer. Looks pretty outstanding.
Well, let's go to Geek Andrea on the Star Wars geek scale here.
Yes.
What do you think of the new trailer?
I think it's awesome. I think all of the trailers have been awesome. I was so excited when they came out with the first one that was a year in advance.
Do you guys know any background on the fact that Skywalker wanted one last scene with Han Solo, and somehow the director shot it down?
It'd be interesting. I'm not sure if there would be a logical way to get those two together, especially with what they've done. But maybe, I mean,
Costco. They bump into each other at Costco.
Maybe they'll have one of those ghost sequences or something like that. You know, have Han Solo come back as a Jedi ghost and be all weird.
They could bump into each other like at the Jedi Knight store. Although Han Solo's technically not a Jedi Knight, just so you guys know.
Jedi.
Just a Jedi. I have the list too. Going all the way back to 1990.
All right, go run through 90. Just full fly through them.
Okay.
90 is who?
Michelle Pfeiffer, Julia Roberts, Jodie Foster, Cindy Crawford, Meg Ryan, Courtney Cox. Then they picked Mel Gibson, Tom Cruise, and Leo. They called it the most beautiful person. Then Michelle Pfeiffer, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Nicole Kidman, Halle Berry, Jennifer Aniston, Julia Roberts, Angelina Jolie, Drew Barry, Kate Hudson, Christine Applegate, Jennifer Lopez, Beyonce, Gwyneth Paltrow, Lupita Nyong'o, Sandra Bullock, Jennifer Aniston, and then now Julia Roberts.
Wait, so
this
Julia
is
her
third time or fourth time?
This is the third time, it looks like, that she's been the most beautiful person.
It is nuts.
People, you got to be spreading the love. You got to spread the love around. You can't keep going back to the same people.
Right.
We're living in a new generation.
Yeah. It says 5. It says 5, so I must have miscounted.
We go off the board. Let's go Amal Clooney. Let's go Helen Mirren. Let's go one of those two.
Helen Mirren.
Or even Meryl Streep. I mean, she had
that would have been
kind of
cool considering
year.
What happened this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, it would have made Trump nuts, and he would have tweeted.
As well. That would have been a solid one, too, you know, a new face.
Huh. All right, well done by you, Matt. Please return to whatever it is you do and make it not criminal. And
I do my best.
On Milwaukee, it's Matt Miller. And by the way, if people want to see the full Summerfest lineup, where do you send them?
I would send you to onmilwaukee.com. We've got the full lineup there, and we've got some stage lineups as well. They're starting to announce who's going to be playing where. So I would check out On Milwaukee. We should have the Harley-Davidson Roadhouse stage right now. Some people playing there.
I'm considering. I haven't committed to this yet, but Dave and I were in a punk band together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're considering putting it back together for Summerfest. They want us to play. Our band is called Does This Look Infected? And we may do our best punk hits of the early 80s.
I'm holding out for Chicago Fest at Navy Pier.
Dave will play Chicago Fest. I'll play Summer Fest, and we'll meet in the middle.
Perfect.
By the way, there was a punk museum in Iceland, and I saw some of your old 8-tracks in museum from your band.
Yeah, yeah. Does this look infected from, you remember our debut album? What does this smell like to you? Or was it Smell This? I forgot. I really have forgotten.
That was the B-side, right?
Yeah, was.
Yeah, I think so.
That didn't get much
general
play.
Smelling theme, yeah.
Sounds like it.
Matt, we apologize.
Some folks listening that maybe are about to be parents or grandparents for the first time, there's a place in the UK called Baby Center that's gone through all the baby names that are registered, and they are literally putting out a list of names that they feel may be going extinct, names that millennials are no longer picking for babies. Names that could go away. And it starts off, Andrew, with bad news for Mr. T and you, because name number one on the list is Angela.
Angela?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No,
Angela may be going away. Diane may be going away.
I like the name Diane.
Diane's pretty.
It's kind of a Diana. Classic, regal name.
Yeah.
Derek, gone. Leonard, gone. Neville, gone.
Oh, darn it. Neville.
My son was going to pick that for his child.
I think Neville's kind of a cool name.
I don't. Maybe if you're British.
How many Nevilles can you name?
Chamberlain.
Neville Chamberlain. That's it.
Plus, it sounds like naval. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you go with the playground test, right? The playground test is you take the name and you try to act like a 7-year-old.
Right.
And how your other kids use it against your kid. Sandra may be going away.
Like
Sandra
the name?
Or Sandra.
Like the name Sandra.
Yeah, I don't hear Sandy much anymore.
Bad news at 10 o'clock. Wendy, done.
Oh.
Out. Over.
Wonder if she's going to change her name.
Wendy, no, I really don't think so. Those are your top 5, 6, 7, what are seven names? I think it was seven. Seven names that are going to go away. And yet we continue to see names that come up amongst millennials that you know they're going to regret, like they regret the choice they made for their high school yearbook picture. I think we'll name him Apple. Oh. I think we'll name him Oxygen. I think we'll name him Styrofoam Pellets. Yes, that would be a good name for our child.
Rain.
North.
Ridiculous. It's not a it's a human being. It's not a compass point. 36 baby names going away. We could post that to my Twitter feed at Cochran Show. And while I was in the hospital, I was not as active on Twitter, but I find myself as I gain more energy in this recovery period to be more and more frustrated with the idiots in charge. So I'd highly advise you to follow me on Twitter. I think it's going to get real good again soon. If you missed it, we lost a ship. Don't worry. The news is good. The ship is fine. The people on it are fine. But the President of the United States and the Commander-in-Chief thought it was headed for North Korea when, in fact, it was headed for Australia. We'll get you details on that coming up here in a little bit. And in just a few moments, an update on the unbeatable Chicago Bulls. Stand by for that. We'll get to the big story next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Felicio, the rebound, and that should do it. Shot clock's turned off. And the Bulls are going to go up 2-0 on the Boston Celtics. An 8-seed. An 8-seed. 2-0 over the number 1-seed.
Drive home safe in Chicago.
BB. 111-97.
Who's the 8-seed in this series?
Doesn't matter, man. It ain't about seed, man. It's about who's playing the best basketball.
You guys think you can close it out in Chicago?
I got you. Thank you.
CSN, Jimmy Butler, Neil Funk and Company, and the inexplicable Chicago Bulls up 2-0 on the Celtics and coming home. By the way, before I get any deeper in this, I do want to recognize the fact that we missed a name on the People Magazine Most Beautiful Women's Women of the Year list. Julia Roberts took it, Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman. The new Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, very hot young actress.
Very, very good
nice
idea.
Nice job, Twitter.
Yeah.
At Cochran Show on Twitter. Sam Panionovic has been stalking Gal Gadot for quite some time, and the restraining order remains in effect. And he joins us now. Who are these Bulls? You know who these Bulls are? These Bulls are like the nephew that had nothing but potential and disappoints everybody, but comes home and sucks up at Thanksgiving just to get a good meal. That's who these Bulls are. This is not the team we saw all year. Who are these guys?
these are the Bulls that Gar Forman and John Paxson dreamed about all season. Even though the media, guys like me, we thought there was no chance they could go to the postseason at all, let alone win two games against the number one seed. I would love to be at Bulls headquarters right now and see the big smile on Gar Forman's face. This is his plan all along. He talked about three alphas, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, and Rajon Rondo. And go figure, those were the three guys at the podium last night after the Bulls became the second team in NBA history to go up 2-0 as an 8 seed in the playoffs. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, and Dave, why now, and can they continue?
Well, I'm coming home. You would think they can. The only thing I guess I would suggest is, didn't the Blackhawks feel pretty good going to Nashville?
Yeah.
Even though they were down 0-2 after losing twice at home, and we saw how that turned out for the Hawks, at least as far as last night. But I think the way they're playing, it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't a fluke on Sunday. Sam, I'm sure you'd agree. It wasn't a fluke last night. They got down, what was it, 7-0 and 9-2 or something. And then from that point on, they pretty much controlled the game. Even when Boston came back, Bulls would build a little bit of a lead. Boston would come back, and the Bulls would just build the lead back up again. I mean, it's a very solid win for them, and I'm not sure if I'm Boston how I'm going to recover from this.
Right, and in all seriousness, it makes sense for a couple of different reasons. Number one, the best player on the floor in the series is wearing Chicago red. Jimmy Butler's been the best player. In fact, Dwayne Wade has likened him to a younger LeBron James. Remember when Derrick Rose and company went to the postseason back in 2011? Bulls were the number one seed. The problem was a little point guard. When a little point guard is your best player and you could put somebody like Jimmy Butler or LeBron James on him, it makes things difficult later on in games. And that's been the problem now for Isaiah Thomas, who is Boston's best player. He's only 5'9". And when you put Jimmy on him late in games, he's really been struggling to get his shot off. Also, the Bulls have been monsters on the glass. They've out-rebounded Boston two games in a row. Dwayne Wade has found the fountain of youth. And the Bulls have been taking care of the basketball, too. And the bench has been contributing. They've been making three-point shots. And I found this quote. I like to read tea leaves and quotes. Rajon Rondo said that Fred Hoiberg has outcoached Brad Stevens. And there is not one analyst in the country that saw that coming.
Nope.
Well, yeah, because Fred, you know, I maintain, Dave, as you know, my number one rule is you can't have a white guy named Fred as a top coach in the NBA. It just doesn't work that way. He's a good guy. He played at this level. And, you know, if they all gel at this time as opposed to any other time, well, it seems to be working. But what about Brad Stevens? I mean, the wunderkind from Butler, he goes to a terrible NBA team. He turns Boston around. It's NBA royalty. They're supposed to have a cakewalk against the Bulls. He must be getting killed.
He's got, by the way, the worst record now for any NBA coach in history through his, what, first 12 playoff games, I think it is, like 2-10. But, yeah, he's a terrific coach. I don't think this ends the book on him. But if they get swept as the top seed, then you can only imagine how the heat is going to grow on this guy here pretty quickly.
And here's the irony. These two teams almost made a trade. I was at the NBA draft last summer. These two teams were so close to making a trade. Boston wanted Jimmy Butler so bad, but they couldn't agree on the price. So and that was the talk coming into this postseason. If Boston couldn't make a deep enough run, they would try and rally everything back up and try and reacquire Jimmy Butler. But now, if you're the Bulls and you win this series and you make a deep run, I mean, in all reality, guys, the kryptonite for Chicago since 2007 has been LeBron James. That's been the only guy they haven't been able to get through in the postseason. And luckily for them, Cleveland's on the other side of the bracket. You know, they're the 2 seed. If the Bulls win, they become the de facto 1. They wouldn't meet until the conference finals. And on paper, the only team that has more firepower, better players, and it's deeper is Cleveland. So it's hard to rule out anything here. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but, I mean, Cleveland's the only team that should really scare the Bulls.
Dave, the sports world's upside down.
It is. It is. Blackhawks, I mean, are down 0-3.
The Hawks are 0-3. Yeah. The Bulls are up 2-0.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes sense is the Bears still suck, as far as we know. Other than that, nothing makes sense.
This has just been a weird several days to be a fan in this city. And even look at the White Sox, who were predicted to do nothing this year, have, by the slimmest of margins, a better record than the Cubs at this point. I mean, it's just, yeah, things are kind of topsy-turvy. But I got to think that the Bulls are going to be so juiced coming home Friday night. It's an early start, 6 o'clock at the United Center. They could always trip. Boston could get it together. But, Sam, I didn't see anything from the Celtics last night that leads me to believe. And again, I don't want to dismiss what they did in the regular season. Isaiah Thomas is going through an awful tragedy right now. You wouldn't want to wish that on anybody. That said, he got really frustrated on the court last night. You could see it early, and he was jacking up bad shots, and I mean terrible shots. And you just kind of feel like the Bulls have gotten in their heads.
Yeah, and this is a Bulls team that let everything get into their head in the regular season. I mean, you talk about the fallout between Wade and Butler calling out the team that they didn't care enough, they weren't practicing hard enough. Rajon Rondo had that Instagram post where he said that his leaders never called out his young guys. I mean, this team needed to win 9 of their last 13 just to get into the postseason. So it's almost like they feel like they're playing with house money. And I actually asked Jimmy after the last game of the regular season, I said, what do you think about this 1-8 matchup? I mean, you're going up against the number one seed. And he said, seeds don't matter to me. We're the better team, and we're coming to win. We're not coming to win one game. We're not coming to win two. We're here to win four. And I promise you, they've heard all the noise. They've heard Charles Barkley say that they have no chance to win. I mean, Barkley on TV said they can't win game one, they can't win game two. Well, Charles, it's 2-0 Bulls. So they just keep going with it. And it's a great story. But you're right, it is completely upside down, this whole Chicago sports team right now.
Well, Charles hasn't been right since he started wearing his hoodie backwards. You know, I mean, that snack hoodie. The snack hoodie has really taken its toll. Nice job, Sam. We appreciate it. Sam Panionovich on your Chicago Bulls. We will have great news on the Blackhawks Friday morning, Dave, right? You're guaranteeing it this time?
I believe you guaranteed it the other night.
Which
that
is
didn't
why
go
I'm
so
not
well.
Guaranteeing it
yeah,
this time.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away from guarantees. I have a good feeling about it, but I think guarantees are just a little bit. I don't want to be accused of putting the whammy on them by guaranteeing a win. I think.
Well, let me go to Andre on this. Andre, will you guarantee it?
I will guarantee a win 150%.
All right. Vandeveld, are you in?
Okay.
Okay. Hedging?
Yeah. I'm always the pessimist, but I got
to
be optimistic.
Well, let's go to legendary Las Vegas bookmaker Steve Grzanich. Steve Grzanich, of course, has been running illegal numbers out of Vegas for years. Steve, are you guaranteeing a Hawks win?
Wait a minute. He's actually...
I do guarantee a win.
Okay.
Okay.
Did nobody on this show learn anything from Steve's guarantee the other morning?
Apparently not. Back after this, here's traffic. Fox News is no longer confirming that Bill O'Reilly is coming back. Megyn Kelly has intimated and publicly stated on different occasions that Bill O'Reilly is one of the reasons she finally decided to leave Fox News. I'm getting $20 million a year, didn't hurt either, and go to NBC. But there were several other women that have come out recently, including one African-American unnamed correspondent and one African-American producer who said he liked to grab them and call them hot chocolate.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Hey, ladies. So Bill O'Reilly and his sexual harassment, which was protected in the Roger Ailes era, may be out. O'Reilly's attorney is saying it's a smear campaign, but Fox News is now saying we are not confirming that he will be back from the vacation that he's currently on. No need to worry about Bill O'Reilly. He's worth about $500 million, and he will get work. It's just a matter of where. I don't anticipate CNN or MSNBC picking him up, but he could go the Glenn Beck route and, you know, start his own company kind of thing.
If he in fact said that, I just want to know what part of him, put Republican, Democrat aside, what part of someone thinks that's okay to say to somebody?
That, hey, hot chocolate?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think insulting. Unless you're saying that at a cup of hot chocolate,
right?
It's probably not a wise idea, right? Unless it's some you know, some name that the two of you have agreed on is cute. Yeah, I don't know. You know, what's more attractive than a dirty old man? Huh? Really? Anything? I didn't think so. We've got one more break. We're back in the 9 o'clock CLTV hour is next. We'll talk to Micah Halpern about how dangerous Kim Jong-un, the crazy little fat kid, as Senator McCain called him. How dangerous is he for real? With Mike Halpern coming up after this on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I don't want to telegraph what I'm doing or what I'm thinking. I'm not like other administrations where they say we're going to do this in 4 weeks, and that doesn't work that way. We'll see what happens. I hope things work out well. I hope there's going to be peace. But, you know, they've been talking with this gentleman for a long time.
This latest missile test, it just fits into a pattern of provocative and destabilizing and threatening behavior on the part of the North Korean regime.
Point is that China is the one that can, the only one that can control Kim Jong-un, this crazy fat kid that's running North Korea.
The crazy fat kid. Yeah, he's a problem. Kim Jong-un. Andrea and Dave, I don't know if you remember, but I know Steve does. The first leader of the new North Korea was Kim Jong-il. And then the second was Kim Jong-2. Now it's personal. And this is Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
Micah Halpern is the author of Thugs, amongst many other things. If you Google Micah Halpern, M-I-C-A-H-H-A-L-P-E-R-N, among other things, you ought to have him come speak to your group. You ought to have him come speak to your university. You ought to read everything he writes because he knows thugs. He knows thugs better than we do. And, Mike, I've been looking forward to talking to you. It's been too long. But how dangerous is this little creep, the little fat kid, as McCain calls him?
Yeah, it's worth talking about. Especially, Steve, great to hear your voice again, even though it sounds like you have a little congestion there. You got a cold.
Yeah, a little bit of that. But don't get too close to the phone, and you won't catch it.
Okay, I'm fine. Listen, this character is beyond psychotic. He's totally unpredictable, and that makes him all the more dangerous. From our point of view, as people who analyze, think, and try to predict the future based on what a leader will do, this guy's way off the mark in terms of predictability. So much so that when he gets upset with you, he doesn't shoot you at gunpoint. He uses an anti-aircraft weapon and blows you up. And I'm not making this up. And this is the kind of thing out of comic strip characters. You know what I'm saying? That you just don't shoot bullets at the people that he's disappointed with. He literally shoots an anti-aircraft weapon and blows them up.
It's unbelievable.
On the firing squad. And that's what happened a month ago with people he was upset at because of failures of a lift launch and stuff like that.
So but what I've learned from you, Micah, what I've learned from you through the years is these narcissistic, psychopathic dictators are all self-absorbed and all desperately concerned with keeping their own lives going at the expense of their own people. Point being, is Kim Jong-un any different? Or does he want what he wants? He wants to eat all his food. He wants to fly Dennis Rodman over. And the last thing he wants to do is really start a nuclear war where he's going to die.
Now, the difference is you were correct on all the levels except your conclusion. You see, he is so deluded, as most of these leaders are, that they actually think that they're players in the big world. You know, and they actually think that the world, in other words, even the free press, the Steve Cochran Show, is controlled by Trump. You know, they would actually think that because that's what they do to their press. They are so deluded in terms of what's going on that they actually truly believe that that's the way it is. And there are fascinating stories that happens with Saddam Hussein and everything else. When people actually talk to him, when he has an interview, he says, you're not really telling the truth. You're going to tell whatever your government says. And the response of the interviewer is, no, in our society, when you criticize the government, they give you a TV show.
Right. All right, so let's talk about that for a second. So we seem to have every reason to believe that Donald J. Trump, for all his shortcomings, is smart enough to turn over the running of our defense to some pretty qualified people in a defense team that really is the A-team. Do you have confidence?
Do you have confidence
that we're going in the right direction and that Trump staying out of it and staying quiet is the right way to go?
Well, listen, predictability level on the Trump is also a difficult thing for me to do because he really does shoot from the hip. I can tell you, though, that his defense team and the strategy team is A number one. And there are people that conflict with one another, even the son-in-law, Jared, let's say, for instance, and Steve Bannon. They're conflicting. Conflict is good in the circle as long as no one hears about it from the outside. From the point of view of strategies, they're really thinking about how to handle this and how to rope it in. The reality is, and this is very important to recognize, that China has a lot of influence here. Not total pull, not total control, but a lot of influence. And the fact that the Chinese president came not to Washington, but to Mar-a-Lago, down here in Florida, I'm in Florida right now, to deal with this was very, very important. Very different than meeting in Washington, D.C., not because of informality, but rather because of negotiations, discussions, and dialogue. And they did not speak about the plank in the platform of Trump's election, which was Chinese manipulation in monetary currency. But they did not talk about currency manipulation at all. If you remember, that was one of these huge planks. The Chinese currency movement, forget that. In position, he's got to deal with North Korea because they're a hair trigger. Got to figure out what's going on.
So where does this go? And again, to put you in a position where you said you're not comfortable doing it, I certainly understand it, and that's predicting. What is Kim Jong-un? I guess my concern here is Kim Jong-un sort of similar to Trump in that he gets up and he says things, or is there more of a strategy behind him?
No. When I said the issue of predictability, I was not suggesting that Trump is anywhere close to even in the world of Kim Jong-un. So don't make that parallel. I will say, though, that it's hard sometimes to predict what's going on in the Trump campaign or in the Trump administration because he's all over the map on some of his ideas. That is not the case with Kim Jong-un. He's on one side totally, and we don't know if he's going to wake up on a bad day and arrest people or stop a project or decide to launch a missile that's just to prove a point to us. And those are the kinds of things that are happening. He does not realize, and this is the biggest issue with Kim Jong-un, the biggest problem with all negotiations, when the person you're negotiating with does not realize their actual size and power,
right?
When they overemphasize their power, when they overemphasize, when they don't have it, we have it all the time with that lessons, we have it all the time with the police, we have it all the time with interrogations, we have it all the time with international affairs. When the person you're talking to does not have a real assessment of who they are, you cannot get through to them.
What could China do in our... we expecting too much of China to handle this?
I mean, look, the Chinese are there. First, they share an enormous border. Secondly, they have influence on other issues. They have shared interests, too. And in addition to that, the Chinese provide for them almost everything. Their economy is based on the Chinese import. So without China, North Korea is gone. They're gone. And so we've got to deal with that in a serious way. Chinese can influence them. Now, in a lot of ways, China for years said it's a little gnat. We don't want to deal, you know, let them run around and play and sort of buzz in people's ears. And it's so be it. Now it's not the case. They've gotten to be a little too arrogant. And that in and of itself is offensive to China.
Micah, they've been threatening this for years. North Korea has obviously been a nuclear threat for many years. It seems more imminent now than ever before. So I guess my question is, how quickly would those missiles get here, and how quickly would our government have to respond?
Well, let's hope that the answer is never.
Okay.
That'd be the first thing. Let's hope the answer is never. Second is that they have range potential here. They're not the greatest. So we will know in advance it's going to happen. I would guess it would go down over the Pacific if that were the case. So we would be able to stop it from happening, to put all of the minds of the listeners at ease. We have the capability of stopping that in terms of a serious defense system. Thankfully, those are in place in the United States. Have been in place for a long time, and they have been updated, mind you, which is important also. That said, I don't want to go into too much detail on that just in terms of boring listeners. Note very clearly, though, the United States has adequate ways of defending itself against the North Korean, the homeland against the North Korean attack. I do not see that it's happening, okay? I do not see that it's happening. I do see playing around, and that's an issue of saber rattling, which is the standard procedure in this kind of stuff, and even taunting the United States, which is exactly what's going on. So the previous administration would look away. I don't know if that's a good idea because he's becoming more and more powerful, more and more arrogant, and more out of his real knowledge of his position in the world. So he's going to have to be swatted down like that gnat. He's going to have to be swatted down. So we're going to have to deal with him in some way. The best way to deal with it is as a collection and coalition including the Chinese. And I repeat that again. I think it's possible to be done for the Chinese. We can help them do it, but they're certainly capable of doing it in a way which is even better than we could do it.
What's our worst day? I mean, we've seen nothing mechanical that's all that impressive by what North Korea has been capable of. They look like the Acme Company and Wile E. Coyote standing on the shore going, yeah, that one's not going to work either. But it doesn't mean they're not going to get one through. So what's our worst day? Another test fire that we overreact to?
Right. So here's an interesting question. So you can never, ever underestimate the role of luck in these kinds of crazy situations, which we learned about in 9/11. Their luck factor was way off the scale. But who would have, from the luck point of view, in terms of the plan, they were able to coordinate that kind of stuff. I'm talking about terrorists and evil people here. I'm throwing them all in the same category. With regard to Kim Jong-un, the same idea. You might be lucky, but the real point here is that we've got to stop it from lifting off, going anywhere, anywhere nearby, anywhere around, even to the point of getting to the point where they're not even testing underground or above air kind of nuclear devices. And the device that we saw last week was, from the information I have at least, was not a nuclear device that malfunctioned. It was just simply a rocket. It was a toying. They're playing with us. You see, that's the whole game. Most people are talking about this, potential nuclear device, and it wasn't at all. It failed, and I'm sure a lot of people were killed or will be killed because of that failure. That was a public humiliation. It was supposed to be a statement of North Korea against us. You see, regardless of what you think and say, we're going to do whatever we want anyway. Right? Instead, they did whatever they wanted anyway, and it fizzled out to a dud. It's like one of these firecracker rockets sort of fizzle out at the launch pad.
Any chance of a coup at the highest level there? Because the people at the highest level don't necessarily worship Kim Jong-un as royalty, as the citizens do, as a god, to protect their own country, to protect their own people. Any chance they might take him out?
It's a really good question. So people ask me the question all the time about a coup in North Korea, and you would think that that's a possibility. The issue here with North Korea is he literally removes his hierarchy and kills them on a regular basis. And you don't become an advisor for a lifelong appointment here, or maybe it is lifelong. It's just a very short life.
Right, exactly.
Very short life. He's constantly takes out his frustration on the people who are advising him. That is a problem when you're a leader. One of the most important things you need as a leader, and this is very valuable across the board, is you need people to tell you the truth, even if it's uncomfortable. You need to know what's really happening. Otherwise, you become totally deluded. And dictators are totally deluded because they're petrified of telling them the truth. You can't do that.
Was that what it was like, Sandberg, when you worked for Dahl?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was like.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, the truth is scary. Micah, you're fabulous as always. Where do we follow you?
Oh, you can always find me. Just go online and do a search of my name, and MicahHalpern.com. You can get my regular website. You can see me on YouTube and Blip and Vimeo on my television show called Thinking Out Loud with Micah Halpern. You can watch and send me emails, tweet me. And
follow Micah and learn. Thank you, my friend. It's Steve Cochran at 9:23. What do we do when we come back? The horse of a different color game. This is a game that was invented while I wasn't paying attention. We're going to come back. We're going to play it. You're going to be a big winner. And before 10 o'clock, Andrea, you just got back from Iceland. We may send you on a cruise now.
Oh, excellent. I'm ready.
Because Peter Greenberg's going to bust a bottle of hooch. This always makes Dave cry because he thinks it's wasted hooch. Bust a bottle of hooch on the side of a ship. We'll do a live christening coming up from Monaco.
Yeah, with Prince Albert,
Peter
I
Greenberg.
Believe.
Yeah, Prince Albert's always on the show.
Right.
Hello. Yeah, it's Steve. Yeah, Prince Albert. Yeah, I can't talk right now. let's come back and do more in this CLTV Hour. Thanks for watching that, too, on 720 WGN. Well, it's America's fastest growing game show. It's always a different color game. Going to bring in guest game show host Sandberg in here. And Andrea, since you are the horse expert on the show.
Thank you, I think.
Was that a laugh or a whinny?
That was a both.
Okay.
It's a laugh when I win.
So if you would like to win.
At the track.
Just call now, 312-981-7200. Andrea will be playing for you. And Dave, I think you and I and Grzanich and Vandeveld will just mock Andrea if she gets us wrong.
gosh.
I'd be glad to.
Oh, this will be fun.
Yeah, we don't really know the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why Sandberg's here. Sandberg?
So I am going to give you a horse color. Okay. Colors, horses come in a lot of different colors.
Yes.
And I want you to tell me what that color is in layman's terms.
Oh, God. Okay.
You are the horse expert. I know you and Eddie Olchek.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay. Do I get, to, right, do so I get help from Eddie?
No. Yeah, Eddie's not available at
this
time. But when we have a caller, let me know the caller's name. We don't necessarily have to put them on the air. But let me know the caller's name, and they'll be playing for them. Say again. Kevin. Kevin is the caller.
All right, Kevin.
All right, Andrea, so everything Kevin ever dreamed of is in your hands now. And what will Kevin win if Andrea is right?
Prize list, anyone? It's the Derby package. Does somebody have
hold on. Package for four at Hawthorne Racecourse for the 59th Illinois Derby presented by ExpressBet. It's this Saturday, April 22nd. You get admission, a program, a buffet, and a bar, Dave, with domestic beer, wine, and soda. Get your tickets online by 5 o'clock on April 20th at HawthorneRacecourse.com.
All right, so ask your question. Kevin, stand by to win. Andrea, the pressure's on you.
Oh, God.
All right, Andrea, the color chestnut.
Oh, it's brown. Right, like a tannish brown.
I'll accept that. Oh, a reddish brown.
Okay, yes. good.
Salt and pepper.
That would be kind of a black and white type horse peppered in. Okay, thank God.
Brindle, which happens to be one of the rarest colors in horses.
By the way, you only have to get 17 of these correct for Kevin to win.
Brindle.
Brindle.
Can I ask for help from Dave Bennett?
Yeah, you can ask for help from
Dave.
I'm
going to ask for help from Dave Bennett. Don't get it wrong, Dave.
Brindle, it's got a, it's sort of a reddish tint.
All right, I don't want no help from Dave anymore.
Dave's making it up.
I don't want help from Dave anymore.
It is zebra-like. Champagne.
Oh, those are beautiful horses, the champagne ones. It's more of a golden hue.
Correct. Dun.
Dun is black.
No, dun is actually the end of the game.
Oh!
There you go.
What is dun?
Dun is yellow.
All right, one more. You must get the last one correct for Kevin to win.
Okay, I think I know this one.
Pinto.
Pinto? That's more orangey. It's a brownish color.
Oh, well,
it's more
okay.
It's
orange and brown. She's throwing out multiple
colors out there.
Like a pinto bean. Like a
it's
pinto
large
bean.
Patches of brown, white, and or black. And
I had a brown. I had a brown pinto.
What's the gray horse called?
Brown pinto.
It was a wagon.
I ate one of those last night.
Oh, man.
That's very
remember
good.
When your horse backed up and blew up? Congratulations, yes. Kevin. Kevin, you're a big, big winner. Kevin's won what again, Andrea?
Kevin has won a package for four at the Hawthorne Racecourse for the Illinois Derby. It's this Saturday, April 22nd, and he gets in. Admission, program, buffet, bar. You get beer, wine, and soda pop. Get your tickets, if you are not Kevin, by 5 o'clock on April 20th at HawthorneRacecourse.com.
It is the Steve Cochran Show. Congratulations, Kevin.
Yes.
There was never a doubt.
No.
It's the Steve Cochran Show. We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
We're going to go live to Peter Greenberg of Monaco here in a couple of minutes. Andrea, you want to thank somebody for the Rolling Stones giant donut?
Oh, Steve, this is awesome. You know, Exhibitionism, the Rolling Stones exhibit that's going to be, it's open now at Navy Pier. It's fantastic. It's the largest collection of Rolling Stones memorabilia in the world. And it's making its debut at Navy Pier. Stan's Donuts and Coffee, they've debuted a special Rolling Stones donut. We just sampled some. They're delicious, so we thank them. It's a Bismarck donut. It's got a little bit of raspberry jam inside with a vanilla glaze. And, of course, you got the Hot Lips logo right on the top.
Just like Mick's big, goofy lips.
Yep, and you can get the Rolling Stones donut at all Stan's locations from today until April 30th. 30th, rather, for just $3.60. It's a big donut.
Speaking of coffee, I don't like hot beverages, and I'm trying to do the right thing. I've been drinking every day. I drink hot water, apple cider vinegar, and honey, you know, and mix the three together, and, you know, it helps. It really does. But I just don't,
You should continue to do that after, because that's good for everybody, drinking vinegar.
I know the entire world drinks coffee. I just don't get the hot beverage thing. I've never liked it. I didn't like it when I was a kid. I don't like it now.
Do you like iced coffee?
No.
Oh.
What about you don't like tea?
No, I don't even like hot cocoa.
Oh, you should be drinking tea.
I think it's good in the wintertime. You know, you get a hot cup of coffee to start the day, plus the caffeine.
Like
well, I'll put up, Sandberg, put up my recipe for apple cider vinegar, honey, and hot water. I think I invented it.
Okay, I can do that.
Or there are 67,000 million references to it online. That could be it, too.
You okay. guys, I don't get the vinegar. I mean, I've heard like hot lemon.
Drinking vinegar is really good for digestion.
Vinegar.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
vinegar, apple cider vinegar.
And it's for good for your digestion or for your chest?
It clears, it's good
it.
Like,
it
if you ever go to like a voice couch. Yeah, like phlegm in your throat. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was just lemon and honey. That's good.
No, it's good for your voice. Yeah.
I had it last year. I had a bad cold. I was losing my voice, and I tried that. I think you might have suggested it to me, Mary, mm-hmm. actually, and it was great. I mean, it didn't taste great, but it worked.
Ooh, I love my vinegar drink.
Less vinegar.
Ooh, it's great.
Less vinegar, less apple cider vinegar, more honey.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's
time.
The key. Dave, you're upset about Brindle?
Yes, I am, oh, Steve. God. I'm glad you brought that
Steve,
up.
Steve, this has been a big on-air off-the-air controversy yeah. for
no,
the
it's
whole
just,
news
it's always
break.
Point to Dave. He says something that's technically not wrong, and then I get accused of being wrong.
Well,
Dave, let's not sell you short. You're wrong a lot.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the Brindle thing?
Well, first of all, Brindle is more a mixture of colors. It's not a color per se.
Oh.
And I looked at the official list of horse colors.
Yes.
Which you can find pretty much on any computer.
True.
By
Tell
Googling.
Me more.
And there was no Brindle listed.
Dave,
wait.
There is Brindle. I'm looking at it right here.
Let me get to the edge of my seat. All right, continue, Dave.
Okay, Brindle.
Oh God!
One of the this is what Mary has just shown me from Wikipedia, the noted source on horse colors.
Yes.
Brindle, one of the rarest colors in horses, possibly linked to chimerism.
Chimerism won the Derby, didn't it?
Yes, actually.
No, but ironically, I'll have another. Did Dave?
Yeah, so
Cheers.
Dave, what would you like this? So you would like to make what point here?
Okay,
you don't
my
believe
point
in
is,
Brindle?
Okay, you bring Andrea on as the
yes.
horse racing expert.
Yes.
Which
right?
Which
Even
I
though
am.
I did a radio show at Arlington
oh
for years,
God.
But forget
right.
about that.
Right.
Okay,
did you ever win
then
the
when
horses?
She can't
Clearly
answer,
I did forget about it or I would have brought it up.
When yes. she can't answer a question,
yes.
she says, let's ask Dave.
Right.
Because
right.
she doesn't know the answer.
It's my lifeline.
And then I get ridiculed for not knowing what a Brindle is.
Now, you do realize, had you not thrown a tantrum over Brindle, none of this would have been on the air.
His face is turning Brindled colored.
Can I just point out, Dave, that Kevin, our listener, won the tickets. That's,
that's
what
really
we should be happy
thing.
For.
I'm very
thing.
Happy for Kevin.
We have breaking news. We interrupt this very important segment of the program to go live to Monaco, where the great Peter Greenberg is standing by, petergreenberg.com. He is about to, what is this called? Is this commissioning a ship?
They're actually christening it tonight with Prince Albert.
And Prince Albert will be using what? Maybe a bottle of Mad Dog 2020?
Let's put it this way. That champagne is going to be rocketed into the ship. That bottle will break.
Can you do the play-by-play for us as it happens?
I could. As a matter of fact, it's going to start in about an hour and a half.
Oh, an hour and a half from now. Okay. All right. We'll set it up. Paint the picture for us. What's happening?
Well, what's happening is this ship is only 8 days old. It just came out of the shipyard 8 days ago, built in Genoa. It's probably the newest, most luxurious cruise ship ever built, and it's part of a whole new theme in cruising, which is not only all-inclusive, but it's all suite. And what they've done is they've done something amazing in terms of the architecture, in terms of cabin space. First of all, the cabins are huge. The balconies are huge. But what's really amazing is the bathrooms. Every bathroom has a sunken tub. Have you ever seen about that in a cruise ship? Never.
Never.
And then what they've done is the traditional eating on a ship has been the main dining room with first and second seating. What they've done here is they got rid of the main dining room, and they have eight separate international cuisines in eight separate specialty restaurants. You can eat at any one of them anytime, as many times as you want, 24/7. That's different. But the most important thing that's changed is the size of the ship. It's small. It's only 600 passengers, which means it can get into ports that the other ships, those behemoth 7,000 passenger ships, can't. And that means that this ship and the entire line that it's part of, called Silver Sea, is going to 850 ports that other ships can't go to. That's amazing.
That is amazing. And does that create a whole new category for the industry?
It does, because passengers today, it's not just about style, it's about substance. They want a more authentic, genuine experience so that they're not only pampered on the ship, but when they go ashore, they're having an immersive experience and not surrounded by 30,000 passengers from other cruise ships because those ships can't get in.
It's Peter Greenberg, petergreenberg.com. He's in Monaco. In about an hour and a half, they're going to commission this ship. And where will it sail first?
It will sail from here to Barcelona and to the entire French Riviera, and then it will then end up everywhere. I mean, the ship is going to go worldwide. It'll be in New York. It'll be in Miami. It'll be in the South Pacific. It'll be in Asia. There's no place it won't be going, which means that if you look at the regular cruise ship industry right now, every shipyard in the world is at full capacity right now. There are 56 new cruise ships being built that are going to come online in the next 3 years, which means a buyer's market for us, excess capacity. Couple that with what's going on with the drop in online bookings because of Brexit, the power of the U.S. dollar, and then global instability fears, and it's a great time to go traveling.
How do we book? Like, if people are listening now and they want in, what do they do?
Well, about 90% of all cruise ship bookings are done through travel agents, and for good reason, because they have preferred supplier relationships. And it's a complicated booking. You're not just booking a cabin. You're booking shore excursions, and you're booking meal options, and you're booking everything else that the ship offers. So go through a travel agent on this one. I'm a big fan, as you know, we've talked about this on the air before, of talking to a human being, no more importantly so than when booking a cruise ship.
You know, you have more fun. Sandberg and I were talking about this off the air. You have more fun than just about anybody I know. How do you top this one? Where are you going next?
Well, believe it or not, I'm not going on the ship because it's sold out. They're throwing my you-know-what out of here. At least I'm not being dragged off by the Chicago Airport Police.
Yeah, right.
And I'm getting on a plane tomorrow and flying back like everybody else.
Well, Peter Greenberg gets everywhere and gives us the information we need. Thanks for the update on this. We look forward to seeing. I assume you'll have video of this on petergreenberg.com?
There will be video of it, and it's pretty amazing when you see it.
All right, buddy. All the best. Thanks for coming on. Peter Greenberg in Monaco hanging out with Prince Albert. So, now, Dave, I didn't mean to interrupt the Brindle argument
we're having,
but I wanted to go live to Monaco.
No, I understand.
So, and I don't know if you know this, Dave. The ship is completely Brindle.
Yeah, that's what
head
I
to
hear.
Toe.
That's
Brindle,
what I hear.
Head to toe.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I'm sure Andre knew that.
All right.
I did. I was trying to be inclusive.
This argument will continue off the air. We'll come back and try to explain how we lost an aircraft carrier. And how everybody's okay on it, but what it means in the big picture before we leave, and give it to Bill and Wendy coming up on 720 WGN.